City of Wayne website. City Council may go into closed session to discuss certain agenda items to protect the public interest or to prevent the needless injury to the reputation of an individual, and if such individual has not requested a public hearing. Item number 3 is approval of minutes from our last meeting, August 1st, 2023.
So moved.
Second.
We have a motion and a second. Any discussion on the minutes? Let's roll call. And Nick's lights off. We are good to go. Item number 4 is approval of the claims.
Second.
We have a motion and a second. Questions, comments on the claims? Seeing none, let's roll call. Claims are approved. Item number 5 is action on a request to approve a fireworks display for Wayne State College. We've got Mike Powicki, Director of Athletics, in the house. Mike, the floor is yours.
Mike Powicki, 1223 Providence Road, on behalf of Wayne State College Athletics. On September 16th is our family weekend festivities, and per the usual, we'd like to contract with a pyrotechnic firm to discharge fireworks, some during the game, but primarily after the game, approximately 9 p.m., with an alternate date of October 14th. Although October 14th is a day game, so I don't know if we'd really pursue that or not, but we're allowed to have an alternate date in the license that Premier Pyrotechnics will pursue. And of course, along with that, we'll work with the Wayne Fire Department for approval and their endorsement that it's safe to discharge the fireworks. So seeking approval from City Council moving forward.
Nice, tidy annual request. Any questions for Mike?
Introduce resolution 2023-58. Your action and approval for the fireworks display for Wayne State College, September 16th, October 14th is an alternative date with the approval of the fire chief.
Second.
Motion and a second. Any discussion? Let's roll call. Action is approved.
One quick question, if I may, too.
Yes.
Would I need to come in front of City Council to seek approval if a similar point in time we did decide to do a drone show in addition to this on a different date, but potentially something just a different type of night entertainment? So is that something that this council would have to approve?
I don't think so.
Wait, a drone show?
You can, they got like 300 little pre-programmed drones that have lights and they can do all sorts of different things too. So the same.
We have other drones around town that they don't seek. I mean, we don't get our approval on. I'm not saying that
I wouldn't
they
have
to.
I just thought I was here on ask.
Yeah, right. I know.
Yeah, the only thing.
The airport. I mean,
at Memorial Stadium, they're not allowed. So I think that would be the control of the college.
Sure.
So whatever the college, you know, if you're good with it, then I think it's no issues. But I know to fly them, you need like some type of pilot.
Yeah, they would.
So I think as long as they have that and the college is okay with drones over the stadium, should be good to go.
Cool.
Just let
you?
Us know when it is.
Right.
But it's a secret birthday party. Thank you, I appreciate
Thank
it.
You.
Thanks, Mike.
Item number 6 of resolution 2023-58, acknowledging requirements for the temporary use of the state highway system for special events. We're talking about the Wayne State Homecoming Parade and Band Day on Saturday, October 7th. And we don't. That's good. Yeah, go ahead.
I'll introduce resolution 2023-58 and
move
for approval.
Second.
Motion and a second. Any discussion? Let's roll call. Resolution is approved. Item number 7 is action on the contract for services between the City of Wayne and the Board of Trustees of the Nebraska State College System. This is also about the parades.
Yeah, this, I'm just going to say, this, and this is something the Board of Trustees requires. I mean,
they require this to be signed and returned so that the college can get the certificate of insurance for the event.
Move to approve the action on the contract for services between City of Wayne and the Board of Trustees of the Nebraska State Colleges for homecoming parade.
Second.
Motion and second. Any discussion? Let's roll call. Action is approved. Item number 8 is ordinance 2023-14, amending Wayne Municipal Code Title 7, Traffic Code, Prohibitions and Enforcement, Section 78-13, Stop Sign Locations, West of Main Street, South of 7th Street. This is our third and final reading for this one.
Introduce ordinance 2023-14 and
move
for approval.
Second.
Motion and second. Discussion? Let's roll call. Ordinance is passed. Item number 9 is ordinance 2023-15, amending Wayne Municipal Code Title 15, Land Uses, Chapter 152, Zoning, Section 152.111, SFP Floodplain District, and Joel is not in attendance tonight, but as he's discussed previously, this is what we've been working off of for the last, what?
Three meetings.
We just changed the name.
So.
Yeah, and then they added a little language in there and teeth to it that we can, but again, it's state stuff that they went through an audit and said you guys needed to have these things in your floodplain back in 2008, so you need to retroactively do that. So we need to change the date, and then we'll have to do this again when and if the floodplain changes.
I'll introduce ordinance 2023-15 and move for
approval.
Motion and a second. Any discussion? Let's roll call. Ordinance is finally approved. Item number 10 is ordinance 2023-17, amending ordinance number 2023-6 to authorize a stated principal amount of not to exceed $10 million tax-supported municipal improvement bond series 2023 of the city of Wayne, Nebraska, and amending certain parameters for such bonds. And Beth, do you want to set this up at all before we hand it off?
Sure.
How this fits into the budget overall and what we discussed, why we made this change?
So from the budget discussions, we initially had $7.5 million approved for the municipal improvement bonds. After we had a better idea of costs come in, what we needed for the budget to actually balance and work was $10 million. So the breakdown on that is $3.5 million for City Hall, $3 million for Prairie Park, $2 million for possible land acquisition, and $1.5 million for a park and rec building. So that is what we have proposed in the budget going forward. So during those conversations, we talked about working with Andy and Mike Rogers to increase the municipal improvement bond.
Any questions about that? Otherwise, let's hear from Andy. Andy, can you hear us?
Hello, everyone. Can you hear me okay?
Yes, perfectly.
Great. Yeah, so today we have an amendment to the ordinance, and it's a little longer than I thought. I apologize for that. When you amend an ordinance, you have to repeal and replace whole sections. So in this, we're repealing the 7.5 and putting in the 10 million. We're actually changing the not to exceed final maturity to December 15th of 2027. And the reason we're doing that, we're in kind of a wonky interest rate environment. I think you might actually get a better rate if we go out a year further. We can still prepay these when the projects are done. At any time after 6 months, but since we're amending it anyway, I wanted to give us that flexibility to make sure we get you the best interest rate possible. We also increased the not to exceed interest rate from 4.5% to 5%. You know, I think if we were to issue today, we'd be in the 3.9% range. But realistically, since we are going to issue these over the next year and a half, as you need the funds, I wanted to give us that flexibility because it sure feels like rates have continued to creep up on us. So that will give us a little bit of flexibility in case rates do go up.
And this is still only borrowing what we use type of escalation?
Exactly. And so the nice part about this is it's really acting as notes. So once the projects are complete, we can roll it into long-term financing, and that way we don't have the risk of over-issuing. So if you only end up needing seven, we'll only issue seven long-term.
Any other questions for Andy about the bond?
And I would ask that you consider waiving the three reading rule tonight with an amendment, just like with an ordinance that stands alone. So if we do want to authorize this tonight, we could waive the three reading rule.
Thank you.
I'll introduce ordinance 2023-17, move for approval.
Second.
Motion and a second. Any discussion? Let's roll call.
Make a motion to waive the three readings for ordinance 2023-17.
Second.
Motion and a second. Let's roll call.
I will introduce ordinance 2023-17, move for final approval.
Second.
Motion and a second. Any discussion? Seeing none, let's roll call. Ordinance is passed. Thanks, Andy.
Yeah, thank you, everyone.
Item number 11 is Resolution 2023-55, approving the plan, specification, and estimate of cost for the new police and city municipal building renovation project. And we have our architects in the building.
Bob and Kelly.
This has the files you need. Open the floor plan. And then also I would open, so when you go in there, it'll be under 23115 Wayne City Hall. Wayne City Hall folder, yep. In that meeting folder. Then open one more down, floor plan, up that one. And there's another one in there that's the renderings that show the new council chamber and some of the exterior.
All right, what other one do you want? Relocation or anything?
Yes. That one.
Okay.
Okay.
Start with that one?
You can start with that one.
It's a pretty picture.
Thank you, everyone, for having us here today to talk about the project that we've been working with Wes and his team and all of the city staff for the last number of months to utilize the existing old Emeritus building over on Main Street to find ways to kind of renovate that. This was one of the last pieces that we've really been focused on is essentially the council chambers that you're in today. What would that look like in the new space? So as you can see, again, setting up rows of chairs for the spectators and then having, as opposed to more of a rectangular or square corner here, more of a horseshoe. So it's a rounded area. If you go to the next slide, Wes, I think it will take you around the back side. So this would be a little more of your view as council members with your voting systems, your informational pieces, your chairs, the counter, keeping some wood tones and then wood paneling back behind you. But then, of course, as we're trying to be as economical as we can, just standard drywall and a lot of the rest of the finishes. So just something as a backdrop for the council members in that space. And as you can see, typical just commercial construction, acoustic ceiling tiles. We have carpet, and we'll have some samples for those after the meeting that want to look. We have the physical samples of what a lot of these materials are as well. I think the next slide, Wes, takes you to the exterior. We've been looking at some signage. None of this is quite finalized yet, but this does show you from the exterior, we're looking at replacing the color of some of the awnings and then just a simple paint to go more to a blue color as opposed to the colors that are on the facility today. So those are the renderings. Now if you want to jump back to the floor plan. How well this will show up on the TV. Go ahead and zoom in as close as you can on the bottom plan. That's the upper floor.
Do you want my mouse?
Nope.
So to orient you, north is to the left in this plan. So the bottom of the page is what faces the street.
And also, Council, you have copies of this hard copy in front of you, too.
Let's start at the main entrance. We'll just kind of move to the back side. Okay, so the building, as it says today, runs north-south on the site. And we've divided it into the two sections where you have the city office functions, mostly on the south side. It's somewhat split through the center with your council chambers. And then we have a lot of the police functions to the north side. A lot of conversations between both departments, working through a lot of the spaces and rooms, where people need to be. We have pretty much leaving the exterior envelope in place as it is. We're dealing with some door hardware changes to make sure we have some security. But you'll have from the parking lot, the main vestibule that's there today will function as an entrance from either side still. Staff would have an option to enter their workroom through a secured door, but most of the public will come to that next door on the left. That will take you into essentially a secure lobby where you'll have your transaction windows for whether it's building plans or paying bills, any of those elements. Everybody has kind of their station that's all focused to that front lobby. If there's meetings that need to occur, you would have to allow the public through. Somebody would have to go physically open that door and allow them through to the back area. We do have...
Wait, say that again?
So it's a secured space where Wes was just highlighting that door right next to that space right there. So if somebody were to come in, they couldn't just run into the back.
Okay.
Right?
There's a buzz-in.
There's a buzz-in that will allow somebody through, but it's just a security feature where somebody can't just walk all the way through your space. We do anticipate that there's a meeting room, as you can see, toward the back, so if you have somebody coming in to sit down with city planning to talk about, yeah, I want to do this project, and you need to lay stuff out, that would be, you know, obviously an appointment that you would have, so when you come in, they can buy you back into that space. This plan doesn't label a lot of the spaces, but we did work closely with all the different staff to understand what their spaces might need. We've tried to keep it as consistent from office to office, because staff will change through the years, so keeping things more uniform was one of our goals, but then we have some technical rooms where you have your IT director or Joel, where he has plan sets, where there's just different things in their spaces that they need. So those spaces would have some different casework or storage areas. We do have a break room and a fodder room that are kind of different areas, some storage areas in there as well. Even if you get through, let's say, the first door and are allowed back, we also have two other doors in this back public corridor, one that takes you into the rest of the city offices, one that takes you over to the police side. That is so that in the event you had an evening meeting like tonight, you have a door out of the council chambers that would still allow you, next door to the right, that door.
This.
It would still allow you access to the restrooms, right? So you want to allow people access to the restrooms after hours. That's why we have a secondary set of doors to the city side and the police side, so that after hours, nobody's working there. You don't want people, I'm going to go to the restroom, but they sneak their way back into some of the other office spaces. So keeping that kind of public restroom accessible to the council chambers as well. And if we want to slide to the police side. So the police will have their own public lobby, the PD lobby. That also is a secure space, so you can come in, you can talk to the individual in charge working at the desk. That's their dispatch area, but if you've got people coming in, paying tickets, or dealing with licensing that they need, that's where they would go. But again, you can't just get free access back into the rest of the department. So dispatch has its own space. I mean, that's a fully staffed, basically 24/7 space, so they need their own toilet facilities. They also can't leave their space for too terribly long, so we have a dispatcher toilet. They have their own little kind of break room space, and they're a secure entity as well. Working our way kind of around the plan, we have the chief's office directly adjacent to the dispatch. We will have a hallway then that leads you from what will be a new garage facility for the police vehicles. We have a two-tiered system right now. You have an upper deck that will allow three vehicles to park, and you have a lower deck that will allow two vehicles to park, some additional storage. And as a critical kind of 911 space, we have to have storm safe areas and emergency backup generators. That will also go down in the lower level of the garage. Having this is a secure garage, so if you had somebody that's bringing a suspect in, they can pull into the garage, shut the door, they can lead them through the vestibule and back in. You have a holding tank there. We have interview rooms. If they need to separate, that's something that they don't have in this current facility, two really good separate interview rooms. So we do allow for two interview spaces there. We have testing rooms with proper ventilation now, so that both in your for your DUI testing, as well as if you have any evidence that comes in, things that need good ventilation for those types of spaces. We have suspect restrooms, because we don't want them also using restrooms that the staff is using. A lot of times those get to be really messy spaces at times, depending on who's in the department. Temporary evidence storage, they have an observation room here. We also have the main kind of squad room, sergeant offices on this upper level as well. So a lot of work has gone into discussions with Marlon and his team and his staff to really make sure that when they make this move out of this facility to the new facility, they are setting themselves up for not just the needs of today, but hopefully a little bit farther down the road. I think a lot of the spaces, if you would take the time to tour with Marlon, you would see that they're making the best of what they have, but they have a lot of challenges as it comes to, you know, state mandates that they have.
for things that they are required to do as a police department. So we're trying to make sure that we meet all of those obligations as well with this renovation. When you go downstairs, there's also some more spaces for storage and police functions. This is where we will have, in the event that you did have a storm and something would knock out the dispatch upstairs, we have an emergency dispatch space downstairs that allows them to continue to function. That would be on the emergency backup generator. That's in the lower level where we have hollow core floor slab above that, so it's a concrete bunker essentially. We have the emergency generator that's stored within the lower level garage. That also has poured concrete walls and a hollow core structure above, so that it should be able to withstand tornadic wind levels. Nothing is ever guaranteed against an EF5, but high wind speeds, tornado damage, your police department critical functions will still be able to have those spaces to continue to function in the event of those emergencies. We also have our IT closets down there. We have a little training equipment storage, and then the PD training, which would have, think of it like a fitness room. It's a training room. They can go in, learn techniques, do different exercise things in that space. That's why it's padded and has the ability for them to practice more physical activities that they need to know how to deal with as police officers. We have their long-term storage downstairs as well for evidence and police storage. The city side has some long-term storage down here as well. For the city, they would access that from the other staircase that's accessible from their side of the building. We have existing toilet facilities down there, as well as then one more. It's called open office, but that could also be utilized as a secondary conference space if the one upstairs was already booked, kind of a dual use space between either side. So that's kind of the program and the spaces that we've laid out. You've seen some of the renderings. We have way more drawings than you would want me to share with you today that gets into the mechanical, the electrical, the structural. We also have some examples for those that want to see it of kind of the bid documents, some of the specifications that we're dealing with, the advertisement to bids, all things that as you're looking at these and needing to approve us to go out for bid or part, it's something that we manage as the architectural team, that whole bid process in conjunction with Wes and his staff to set the bid dates and times. And we'll be here for that whole process as well when it comes time for the bid openings, which right now we're targeting in the middle of September for the bid openings, assuming that we can get a couple of final things checked off here on our list of decisions that we're working with the city to get. The last thing was the cost estimate. We had provided the city with a cost estimate at the end of DD. At that time, it was 3.7. I think you heard you amended your bond to get to a budget for the city hall for 3.5. Since that cost estimate at DD, we've worked to try to dial back some things. We're reusing some carpet where we can, trying to keep this thing as economical as we can. I will tell you that's our cost estimate was about $190 a square foot. So we're really cheap on the building side where we already have the existing shell, but we're more expensive than $190 a square foot where we're dealing with the garage addition because that's a much higher level of construction. But on average, for the facility that you have, I would tell you as an architect bidding a lot of jobs, $190 a square foot is a really good rate right now. The school project that we're working on right now for new construction, you're looking at closer to $400 a square foot for brand new construction. So that's the presentation I have for today. I'm open to any questions that anybody has.
The 3.5 is all inclusive, interior and exterior?
The 3.5 is construction cost. There are some elements that if it's not a fixed part of the building, like your furniture, you know, you're welcome to bring these chairs over to your new
we will
council chambers. But like we wouldn't buy new chairs.
Okay.
The office staff, any desks, things like that, things that aren't fixed are not included as part of this process. And again, it's an estimate. We're at the mercy of the bid provider.
You're hoping for a bid open date, or I'm sorry, the opening, middle of September. Any idea when you would think, like construction type thing? I know it depends on the bidders and their schedules. Is there any certain date that you're hoping for?
For
of construction, you know,
start and end of construction?
Yes.
So startup construction, there's portions of this that could start right away that are easy because it's an existing building and they could get in and start some demolition. There's elements of it that we know are going to be long lead times. With the infrastructure that we need to add, especially for the 911 systems, we need to change out your switchgear. You don't have the level of electrical service in this building that we need for that. And I will tell you, switchgear is an 11-month to 12-month from the day you order it before you see it. So that's going to start your clock on when you can finally finalize some of the things in that building. As soon as we take out the old switchgear, you're going to lose your HVAC, you're going to lose some of those elements. Some of those they can keep on, but what you don't want to do is go in and finish all of the interior of the old building and then lose power for an extended period of time. We'll have to work with the contractor to see what makes sense from a scheduling standpoint to when they want to take down the old service. But if you can't maintain climate, you run the risk of taking the humidity level in there and getting more drywall cracks. And that's probably something a contractor doesn't want to take the risk of, finishing the whole office side, but then getting to the garage side and the emergency generation and the switchgear. So it could easily be anywhere between 14 to 18 months total duration, depending on when they get their delivery dates. And that's something that, again, I would say optimistically, it shouldn't be any longer than that, but until they can place those orders, I can't give you a definitive date. I can tell you 11 months is roughly what we're working on a lot of other projects at the moment.
What were some of the greatest challenges with this building's design and the shell that it had?
You can speak up too. Yeah, the site. The site drops off quite a bit as you go around that north side to get back around to the alley. And getting the garage elevation with the two-tiered elements just right so that we don't have too steep of a climb up to the garage or too steep of a drop as you get back around to come into the local level. That's the challenge with adding the garage to the north. And you can see even today if you go there, when you exit that facility on the north side, it's already dropped so much that there's a deck there that then drops down to grade on that north side. So that was a challenge. And then just making sure that we covered, there were a lot of really good conversations with all the departments and making sure that we had everything that, especially on the police department side, they would need with the emergency generator system, the 911 critical access. There's a lot of layers in that, as well as dealing with some things that may still live here briefly, because that's just where it lives with your antennas and communications. It's a highly technical space on the police department side with 911 communications and dispatch, because it's a critical infrastructure piece. So, two challenges.
Well, there's adequate power there, though, currently, right now.
We can get adequate power there for what we need.
What you need. You need more than what's currently there now?
That's why we need to change the switchgear up. Yes.
You need more?
Yes. For the 911 functions, yes.
How much is figured in contingencies?
I'd have to look back. We have in our spec an allowance right now of $50,000 that we're recommending for contingency dollars. There's contingencies in that cost estimate. At the DD level, it was at least 10% still. Okay. So there is contingencies in there, but as we get to the final CD stage, some of that contingency isn't necessarily something that we put to say, yeah, you need to still carry 10% as a added sum.
Yeah, I think this cost estimate is a little different. I mean, when you get an engineer giving you a cost estimate, they have like one contingency, and then they just add a certain percentage to that bottom line, where you've got a built-in kind of across the board in places too.
Yeah, when we do our estimating, and we work with another general contractor that bids jobs in the city of Omaha, and he will go through and block out all of your straight construction costs. And we'll get to a line item, and then from there, there's performance and payment bonds that get added on top. There's the general contractor's markup that gets added into that. So that's an all-in number from the construction side, dealing with those contingencies, the performance and payment bonds, the builder's risk insurance, all those elements that need to be covered.
What are we skimping on?
What are we skimping on?
Yeah.
HVAC a little bit. We're going to be having some bigger zones as a way to save money. We had presented some of the staff with three different options of, you know, good, better, best, and the good level is we stay with what we have. You share some thermostats, so Wes's office shares a thermostat with Joel, with Betty, with whoever, right? So if Wes is typically hot and Joel's typically cold, whoever owns the thermostat's the one that's going to be comfortable. And typically what you see, this isn't uncommon for even general office spaces. I'm the same way. I'm always cold, so I have a space heater at my desk. So if I'm cold, it's not uncommon for me to turn a little space heater on just to, so I feel warmer in my space. So there's probably still going to be a little bit of that, but the delta that we shared at the time of making that decision was about a $600,000 difference to keep the rooftop units that are there and reutilize them and work with the zones that we can get from them. Or perfect scenario, which was $600,000 more, is you look at additional rooftop units, more zones, more thermostats. So we are really utilizing what's already there for HVAC. That's the one thing I would tell you we really dialed back on. It's still going to work. I have no fear that when you want heat, you're going to have heat. When you want cooling, you're going to have cooling. But it's more personal preference that's probably going to be affected just by multiple rooms sharing one thermostat.
And there's a couple space heaters in the garage, but like no air conditioning, no thermostats.
It's unconditioned in the summer. You're not going to have air conditioning in there. But
carbon monoxide evacuation is just an exhaust system in general, not the big expensive kind of hook up and call yourself things, because it's not a fixed garage, so we didn't have that.
Not a repair garage.
So at the onset, there was some concern about how well insulated it was. Could you just talk about that a little bit? Are you bolstering that, or is there an issue, or what was your perception on that?
I should probably.
Yeah, you go ahead.
Okay, so I can tell you what the existing building documents told us, and that's all we have to go by until we start knocking holes in the wall.
Okay, gotcha.
It's a pre-engineered metal building, so if you're familiar with that, it has an insulation that's faced on one side, and so that's all up down the wall, right behind the panels. Yeah. So in recent projects that TD Ameritrade had done, they actually took what was a pre-engineered metal building roof and added more insulation on top of that and a membrane roof system. So you did gain insulation there. You also have a pretty decent airspace between the ceiling and that, which offers more insulation. And then around the exterior, there's the walls are framed inside of
the
face of the GERT system. So from what we saw, where there was like maybe a receptacle out or something, they had added some bat insulation, and there's two layers of drywall on the outside walls currently, the walls that we were able to get into and look at. So we're pretty confident that it should be pretty, I guess, as good as it's going to get for a pre-engineered metal building.
Sure.
The garage has some insulation on the exterior. It has 2-inch thick insulated doors, nothing special, but better than residential. And again, it's not heated other than some space heaters. You're not working in there, you're just coming and going. So there's no point in wasting a bunch of money to do that. And then the lower level is primarily below grade. So it's really only got one and a fourth wall that will ever see the weather.
The through wall deposit boxes looks like it's on the floor plan for the basement. What is that? Is that for your, like, your overnight deposits? What is that?
Utility bill.
Yeah.
Paying utility.
So like right now it's on the front.
That vestibule.
Yeah.
It's on the back side. So we wanted to drive through.
Okay. Well, like I think of like the one that's like currently on the east
side
of the building?
On the front side, yep, there's one up front.
Okay.
One on each side.
Okay.
Right.
Yep.
And then one in the front. We're taking out a pane of existing glass that you already have a frame for, putting in a new stick frame, another piece of glass, infill. It'll be similar to what you have here now.
Okay. I just missed the one on the, floor.
There's a lot of detail there. It's easy.
Yeah.
There's a lot, yeah.
Some things with, this flip of glass.
I can tell you I've never been through a process like this. And the thoroughness, I mean, there's a, there's a lot of information from, I mean, we've gone as far as where the pencil drawers will be located in city space to where will the suspect be chained to the holding room. I mean, and yeah, it's been interesting, but a lot of time has gone into this. That's for sure. A lot of staff time as well as obviously Bob and Kelly and your teams.
And we appreciate all that staff time. We've got really good input. Helped us to develop a real, what we think is a real workable plan. And the one thing Bob didn't mention is that this building doesn't have fire suppression, so we're limited with, there's a lot of corridors. And while some people may think it's excessive, it's really because we can't have a dead end corridor over 20 feet. So we have to have a way to get back out no matter what direction we're going. Plus the security and really the division of functions. Like the police department's 24/7. City Hall is primarily during the day. The council chambers may be during the day and at night. And so to allow the best use of that for all of those is what's critical in the flow of the project. And that's why there's so much circulation. Everybody's got two ways out.
Do you have any idea what sprinkling it would have cost?
Easily $4 a square foot more.
Plus
getting
the fire
water
main
service
and
to
then
it,
you'd have to
which could be another 30 to 50,000 depending on
adequate pressure.
How far we gotta go to tap it. And the repairs we gotta do along the way.
It is getting a new fire alarm system. And what's currently shown on our plan for like the site is that we do have quite a few retaining walls just because of the way the site slopes. I mean, it's part of the structure of the lower level garage, but it also extends. By the time you get out the other end of the garage, you've got steps, but that's an emergency exit.
It's also trying to save money in that we don't want to have to tear up all the way out into the street and redo where driveways are. And you know, you gotta kind of work with what's there for existing green and circulation.
We are picking up storm sewer back there. So our intent is not just to pave that 10 feet in the back of the lower level garage, but we're paving from the northeast corner of the existing building
the top
all the way out to
the existing building in this point.
So that it's much more maintainable.
And that we don't have water trying to come back at the building.
Because the floor levels of the garage do not match the floor levels of the building on either level, just because of the way the site slopes. So what goes up must come down. It goes up, well, the site goes down. And so we've accommodated that with a couple of interior steps within the garage itself. So there's really no steps for the public.
And that's necessary just to hit the clearances we need as a
absolutely
garage function with
yeah
the door heights that we want to see to make sure that they can get their vehicles in, that we're not giving them too small of a space.
Is this garage going out going to eliminate the drive off 6th Street?
It's getting moved.
It's getting adjusted.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's getting adjusted further towards.
So we'll have to restripe some stalls, but in general, yes, it does affect that drive, but we're not eliminating it. We still want people to be able to circulate either direction so that you're not having to back out and always go.
It's going back to where it
back the way
it used to be years ago.
Yeah.
Any questions? Thank you.
Yep, thank you.
I'll introduce resolution 2023-55.
Second.
Motion and a second. Any discussion? Your last chance to complain, question, delay. Seeing none, let's roll call. Resolution is approved. Item number 12 is resolution 2023-56, accepting bid and awarding contract on the Wayne Ferry Park Development Phase 2 Utilities Project. And we have Matt Smith in the house.
Yep, Matthew Smith with Olson. Thanks for letting me come tonight. We opened bids last Thursday. There were 5 bids that were submitted. The estimate for this project was about $1.2 million. Bids came in anywhere from about $716,000 to $1.1 million. So they ranged pretty drastically, but we are recommending the low bid was Penrail Construction. There was an error in their bid. Their bid comes out to be $716,931. So saved you another couple dollars there. So, but again, we've done work with Penrail. They're out of Pender, Nebraska. They're a good company to work with. So that we are recommending going with the low bid of Penrail. So I'm here to answer, I guess, any questions regarding the bid or the Prairie Park project. So.
Now, the one error, because in the bid you have the asterisk there, and so there's like an error there, that doesn't cause any future problems with potential litigation from another company to the city because there was a bid error and we'd have to either rebid or take another bid, correct?
Correct, yep, nope. In our specs we say the unit price is what stands, and that's, again, it might be a little tricky if things got reordered, but this bid didn't change, low bid or anything like that. So, yes, there wouldn't be any potential litigation because of this error.
There's always potential.
Yeah, there's always potential, I guess. But
so what challenges are we running into right now?
Challenges are getting the well designed and running. If you remember, we got a permit to drill the well back in February. They had a well driller drill a test well a couple weeks ago. We got that information last week. So if you remember the liner, we don't want to install the liner in the middle of summer, let it dry out and crack. We want to, once the liner for the lake is installed, we want to be able to fill it right away. So that way you kind of keep the integrity of that liner. So that is the reason Barcon, who is the lake contractor, dirt contractor, hasn't came back to the site, is because the well isn't there yet. So, so far Cooney, if you've been down there, there's a lot of dirt been moving around. He said, when I talked to him today, he said he has probably enough dirt to kind of keep him busy this week and maybe part of next week, but he's kind of getting to the point where he's going to need some of that dirt from the lake that hasn't been dug yet. So I have a call out to Barcon, see kind of what their schedule is. The tentative schedule that the well design will be done is hopefully in about the end of this month. It takes us about 30 days from once we get the information to design the well. So that's what we're hoping. By the end of this month, we can give the green light to the well driller, and hopefully that can keep that moving. But talking with Penrail, they a lot of this work is on the south side, so where the camper pads and everything are, and that was kind of the first place where Cooney focused his dirt work. So the goal is, if Penrail wants to get started, they shouldn't have a delay in kind of them starting. So, but otherwise, yeah, that I guess that's kind of where we're kind of playing that balancing act of hopefully the well can get drilled and designed, finished here, so Barcon can come back, so Cooney can continue to move dirt. So a lot of pieces moving, but so far it's been pretty good. So
they're all playing well together right now, so that's good.
Yep.
They all know each other and work well together, so that's it's been beneficial.
How good a well was it?
So we just got the test well information, so they just give us some information on depths of water, the type of material, and things like that. So what we're designing around, whether it's going to be a 500 gallon per minute pump or 1,000, kind of that range. So just depending on what kind of, what's available there, it's going to determine that. So we're looking into it right now, but there looks like there's water there, so we should be able to put a well in there. So.
Any idea of the depth?
We did a 100-foot test well, so the well will most likely be about that deep. So, but the size is what we're, the size and the screening recommendations and things like that is what we're looking at, the information and things like that. So, and that will determine the electrical load needed and things like that. So.
I'll introduce resolution 2023-56, accepting bid and awarding contract to Penrill Construction for $716,931. What was the change on that?
Right on the dot, 931.
Okay, there it is.
I'll second.
It's a motion and a second. Any discussion? Let's roll call. Resolution is approved. Thank you, Matthew.
Thank you.
On number 13 is resolution 2023-57, authorizing the signing of the Municipal Annual Certification of Program Compliance Form 2023. And this is, by all means, a housekeeping item for
thing the state keeping requires us to do.
Yep. Money flowing to us.
Introduce resolution 2023-57, move for approval.
Second. Motion and a second. Any discussion? Let's roll call. Resolution is approved. Item number 14 is a budget update. And Beth, we got some new numbers in from the assessor. So let's.
Not long before the meeting. So
if you have your budget book, I'd like you to look at tab 6, the very last page, or tab 5, the very last page, right before tab 6.
I could make it.
So I did see that Don Duffy had valuations posted to the county website. Just check the valuation spreadsheet, I guess. I budgeted a 4% increase on valuations, and it came back at 13.45%. So with that, the spreadsheet that we had in there, the total levy was going to be right at 44.5 cents. So with that increase in valuations, we could keep our levy exactly where it was last year, and that is with increasing, or including the CRA with the 2.6 cents. So we would be able to keep the levy at the 41.9 cents.
Can you repeat that percentage for me again?
13.45%.
So how much is that increasing the budget then?
It would increase.
We're going to leave the levy the same and take the new evaluations at 13%. How much more money is that putting in our budget?
So where you had the, it'd be about 27,000. So where you see the 1,049,855.
I think he's asking the difference between 4% to 13.
Yes.
Oh, I'm sorry, for what the valuation amount was?
Yes.
The total valuation was 328 million from the county.
So that's, and that relates to taxes that are. How much?
That's inside city limits.
Right. So how much is that? What's the total dollar amount that's going to increase? We're going to leave the mill levy the same.
Okay, so that's the 27,000.
So the proposed tax asking to what the new valuation tax asking is.
Right. So it was at that 1,049,000.
Yep.
So it would go up to the 1,077. So it's an increase of 27,000. 597 to keep the levy at what it was last year.
Right. So the difference between 4% and 13%, is that what you're asking?
Yes.
How if we kept it at the 44.5 cents?
Oh, sorry, I didn't calculate that because I didn't figure we would
do that.
When it came in that high, I didn't. Yeah.
Yes.
So if you did 0.00.
Well, because it's $29 million.
Yeah.
What was it?
0.0034 8975. $328,167,247.
That's not right.
I think you forgot a...
That's not right either.
You missed the decimal.
You want me to do it?
It said .00.
.00348975.
Times the 328 million?
Yep, 167,247.
Still not right.
Too many numbers here, though. Because that's what this general levy was.
So I'm gonna do something different. 28 million is what it came in higher, right? 28 million higher than we had. And I'm gonna take times... .445585.
It's not right either.
Yes.
$124,000. Does that sound right? 124?
Yeah.
If we left everything the same.
If the levy was...
41.
44.
44
was proposed in the budget.
Right, in the budget, because we were only expecting a 4% increase in valuation, and we got a 13%.
So if we decreased it down to what it was last year, and that includes 2.6 cents for the CRA that we've already approved, if you keep it the exact same levy as last year, you would still have about 27,500, 27.5 to go into reserves.
But you're still increasing taxes.
Because yeah.
Valuations are higher.
Yes. We would collect more taxes this year than last.
I'm trying to figure out how much more. You're saying $124,000.
No, that's if we left it
if
the
we
same.
Left it at 44 cents.
Oh, if we left it at 44.
So I was proposing bringing it back down to what it was last year, the 41.
So we absorbed
so we
keep
the levy exactly the same.
Yeah.
But we
as
are
last
getting
year.
Increased tax amount because the valuations are higher. But the city's general levy would decrease because the CRA now has the 2.6 cents.
Decrease from 34 cents to 31. The lowest it's been for 84.
Could we figure out the actual dollar amount that we would be?
We can get you all that information.
Because that's the lowest.
This came in really, I spotted it pretty quick before the meeting. So like I said, these are pretty preliminary numbers that I tried to pull together. So you want numbers of?
So no, we can do more fun stuff later to see like what the actual dollar amount increases were.
Yep.
But really what we need to decide tonight is what we're going to do with that extra 27,000. Do you want to drop the levy? Do you want to replenish reserves? That's the real question.
Reserves did decrease substantially this year with everything that we've done. So we're at about a half a million, and we normally try to keep it at about a million. So if we took the extra funds, I would want that to go towards reserves to help build that back up.
I think that's what's best.
Mm-hmm. Keep the levy what it was last year.
We can keep the levy the same as
and
what it was last year, and then we would have an increase.
Replenish the reserves with a little bit of money.
Yep.
Okay, we got time to think about it still, but if you're thinking something else, we need to hear about it pretty quick.
We'll get you some different things out to you. We'll get you some numbers out to you. Different scenarios.
Thanks, Beth.
Yep.
All right, item number 15 is discussion update action on potential negotiations on real property. And I would suggest that we go into closed session to brief you on a few things.
I'd like a motion that we go into closed session to discuss potential properties of interest. Council Stang, City Administrator, and Betty. I'll
second. Okay.
We have a motion and a second. Any discussion? Roll call. We are heading to closed session.
Thanks for your help.
Bill.
Second.
Motion and a second to come out of closed session. Any discussion? Roll call. We are back.
I'm going to make a motion to allow city staff to discuss the price discussed in closed session with city attorney and also with landowner that was discussed in closed session as well.
Oh, I like it.
Second.
Motion and a second. Any discussion? Let's roll call. Motion is approved. Item number 16, we adjourn.